Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's February 9th, 2014. A neat little headline here. It kind of puts things in perspective, I think. Because if you just look it around, I'm gonna share a couple of things here that are just insane. It's not bad. The only word I can come up with right now, insane. But when we look around, we need to understand something. We need to look at this from a biblical perspective. And I've titled for the last 2 years show, you know, A Minute with Pastor Mike, Living According to the Word of God in Today's World. Now, I'm not like the expert on the Word of God. I'm not the Bible answer man. I'm just saying, there's some things that are very basic that we need to continue to be reminded of and remember, and then remind other people of. And here's one of them. Things aren't falling apart. Now, if I just said that and didn't say any more, people would look at me and go, yeah, right. You know, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. No, I mean, I wouldn't just make that statement and then not be able to qualify it. Okay, here's the qualifier. According to biblical prophecy, according to what the Bible teaches us, if we look around us today and we look at it according to the Bible, according to biblical prophecy, things aren't falling apart. They're falling into place. There's a difference between falling apart and falling into place. And things are actually falling into place. And we need to remember that and continue to focus on that factor, that things are falling into place. A thing here today that I just can't seem to, I can't seem to get around this. It's prevalent, okay? Barack Obama at the National Prayer Breakfast brought in the Crusades, slavery, and the Jim Crow laws of the South as being justified and rationalized, but was saying, you know, that, hey, this is what ISIS is doing. And he didn't say that exactly. What he said is we've got to look around and see that in the name of Christ, and he used that. In fact, he said, unless we get on our high horse and think that this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ, Obama said. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ. Here's the problem. The Crusades have been over for over 1,000 years, and literally a few thousand people were killed. It lasted for 400 years, and a few people, I mean, if you look at it, it was just a few people. I mean, more people were killed on one day by Islamic terrorists in the Trade Towers than the entirety of 400 years of these Crusades. I mean, we have to stop and look. And he was quoting things out of context. Then he said slavery. Not only was slavery literally legally abolished, I'm not saying it still doesn't happen in places, but legally abolished in this state, but it was largely because of Christians who saw the slavery as immoral and unbiblical. Just because the word slave or bond servant or bond slave is in the Bible doesn't mean we interpret it correctly. And even if there was, it doesn't make it okay. The Bible is the story of mankind from the beginning. And men are not good. There are none good, no, not one. That's what we have to really remember and think about and know and contemplate. And it's just, to me, it's just sad. Okay, it's just sad. We need to stop and go, okay, there's a lot of stuff that makes us think that things are just falling apart, when in all reality, they're falling into place. If we look at what the Scripture says, 1 John, again, was you know, again, to bring people together, to encourage and be encouraging. And no one could write a letter from one person to another or group to another that was going to deal with the situations at hand in that time without mentioning these things, because it was happening. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 through 24. we shall know by this that we are of the truth. I think this is an important thing to remember, folks, too, by the way. We need to know who is of the truth and who isn't, okay? We shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him, for God, in whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence with God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because, here's the reason, we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, if that were the case, if we were to look at what the Bible teaches and what Jesus teaches and what we're supposed to do as Christians, then these other things that have happened, all these atrocities, whether they're small or large, were wrong. They were never right. And it doesn't matter if you tag Jesus' name on it. It doesn't. So we as Christians, true Christians, should say those were wrong. The stuff was wrong. People have done all kinds of things and tagged names on it before. Let's talk about today, President Obama. Let's not talk about 150 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago. Let's talk about today. True followers, true believers, true Christians do not eviscerate babies or burn people alive or slaughter them by the thousands. It doesn't happen. That's not how it works. All right? We need to do what this says in the Word of God, and it says, and this is his commandment. Let's see what it is. That we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus, and love one another just as he commanded us. It's not showing love to someone when you ignite their body and burn them on video and then put it all over the world for people to see, or when you cut someone's head off that has nothing to do with your religious practices, nothing to do with what you're doing. They just are different than you, and you eviscerate them, you behead them, you slaughter them. I mean, that's not okay. Never will it be okay. By the way, a sidebar, interestingly enough, when Barack Obama got and spoke about all that and talked about Jim Crow laws, he forgot one fact. It was that slavery and continued oppression of blacks and those who fought for their freedom throughout the 1960s was orchestrated by the Democrat Party, of which the Ku Klux Klan represented the military arm. Okay? So understand that. A good Klansman was a good Democrat. So does that mean every person who is a Democrat is a Klansman? No. You can't negate the fact that there were Klansmen who were Democrats. I'm sure there were Klansmen who were Republicans. I'm clear of Klansmen. They're wrong. They're all messed up. Let's go back to the Word of God. What is living today according to the Word of God? This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Now watch this. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him. So we have to love one another because that's his commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. We have to love one another. We have to love God and we have to love one another. And if you keep his commandments, then you abide in him and he in him. In other words, you are in Christ and Christ is in you if you keep his commandments. If you don't, you're not. So call yourself a Christian all day long. But if you do not love your neighbor and you do not love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then you are not his. Now that takes work, not loving God. I mean, that's just awesome. But to love your neighbor, that's a tough one, especially when your neighbor does something to you that is horrific or you don't want anything to do with, or that bothers you, or that you don't agree with. And there's only one way to do it. There's only one way to truly love your neighbor, because you can't necessarily pick your neighbors. You might when you first buy your home or build your home. Oh, I know all my neighbors. I know who they are. I picked them. It's great. But those people may die or move or sell their homes, or more may move in, and you can't pick them. And they may be people that you don't like or don't agree with or don't live the way you want them to live. And that's a tough one, so we have to learn how to do this. It can only be done in Christ. It goes on to say this. And we know by this, that he abides in us. How? By the Spirit whom he has given us. Capital S, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is union with our spirit, ministers and witnesses to our heart that we are in him. And it's checkable. How? By the Word of God. Go back over what it is. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. And the one who keeps his commands abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us, that the Spirit whom he has given us. It's that word abide means more than just live with or be with. It means to keep his commandments. In the context here, it is to keep his commandments. And we go back and we have to love our neighbor. We have to love one another. And when we see when Jesus taught, he said the commandment is this: O hear, O Israel, our Lord is one. I mean, that's we know that there our Lord is one. There's one God. There's not many gods. There's not you know, a pantheistic viewpoint, which is kind of the way the world really is. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And this is how we're supposed to function. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second part of that, which is not like another law that we can kind of keep later on, but it's a part of the same thing, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what that means is that we're talking about love. Now, you want to sum that up. The Ten Commandments are about God and our neighbors. How we're supposed to function with God and our neighbors. And you can sum it up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbors yourself. If you do those two things, you can keep the whole law on that. And the only way we can do that is with Christ. You cannot do that if you do not know Jesus. Otherwise, we'll have this kind of junk. We'll have a guy stand up and say the stuff that he just said here. When you have a race car driver get up at the National Prayer Breakfast and say that unless you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to burn in hell for all eternity, I would rather listen to him any day than the pompous, bogus dude that got up called Barack Obama and said this junk and tried to bring down Christianity and uplift Islam. You know, he didn't have to do either one. If we just look at the Word of God, you can believe whatever you want. You can believe, you can worship gods, plural gods, you can do it. But when it invades my space and forces me to have to do something, we cannot kill people into the kingdom. You cannot hate people into the kingdom. And as far as Islam believes, believe the way we are or we'll kill you. Believe what we do or we'll kill you. I just say, as a Christian, I hope and I pray that you will believe in Jesus. Not the way I believe, but in Jesus. I'm fallible. You know, you say, well, how could a God that's a good God hurt all the good people? Well, it's because, first of all, you know, no one's good. We tend to think of ourselves as good, and we're not. No one is good. Not one. Only God is good. God is in charge. We just don't like somebody else being in charge. We want to be in charge. And when you're trying to be in charge, then you want to be large. And you really don't have any room for God. Well, tomorrow we're going to actually get into that aspect of what he talks about. Now, he talks about love 26 times in 14 verses. But we're going to see about false and lying spirits. And they're all over. They're everywhere. We actually covered this 2 years ago on this program, and I'm just going back to it to revisit it now. I don't think it's too soon to go and revisit that again. We covered it, like I said, 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, or a little under 2 years ago. And so we're going to go back, and we're going to visit that again. And if you do listen in, and you're following the program, and I hope you are. If you are, tell your friends, chip in. You can send some notes. You can give a call if we can get you in here. I can't quite get that part of my little thing here to work real well, but we'll figure that out. But the bottom line is to get into the Word of God every day. Spend just even if it's just 10, 15, 20 minutes in Word, in the Word of God. And you, what will happen after a period of time is when you see situations, you find yourself in situations, you'll be more prepared to deal with it biblically because you'll know God's Word. It'll be in you. So we're going to take a little bit of a check about false and lying spirits tomorrow. And then Wednesday we're going to dive into the loving spirit of God. False and lying spirits, they're all over us. The loving spirit of God, we're going to see what that actually is. And we're going to take that through quite a few verses on that one, because I want to show you at least 14 verses where the word love is 26 times mentioned. That's really, and then I challenge you to show me the word love anywhere in the Quran. You won't find it. Yeah, it's true. You're not going to find it. So that's it for today. We're just going to tell you to get into the Word, let the Word get into you. Understand, we are not falling apart. Things are not falling apart. Things are falling into place. And as things fall into place, we're getting closer to His return. So I would suggest spending time in the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to change you. The living Word of God dwelling in you, Jesus, by His Holy Spirit, union with your spirit, is going to change you and make you a new creature. And that is going to make all the difference in the world. So we'll see you guys tomorrow at 11 o'clock.